Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, for loving us. And Lord, what a great thing, even as we're singing, and it is great, God, that our sins are washed away. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this book of Leviticus. That, Lord, I pray that if nothing else, that we understand, God, how concerned you are about details in our lives. And Lord, that you love us to that degree, that you spell some things out real clearly. And Lord, most of all, because you are a holy and righteous God, that your desire for us is to be holy and righteous so that we can become like you. So Lord, I do pray that you would just speak to our hearts, even as we look at some areas that sometimes we think, man, that just doesn't make any sense this day and age. I pray that, Lord, as we look at it, it would just draw us close to you, and we would have a greater understanding of how great you are. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get into chapter 21 and 22, we're going to deal mostly with the priests and what some of their obligations were, what some of the things that they had to do. And here's an interesting thing, you know, in my mind is God puts stronger requirements on leadership, whether it's in the Old Testament, whether it's in the New Testament. And, you know, some people want to be leaders, but they're horrible followers or they're horrible at submitting. And when people don't know how to submit, they're horrible leaders. And God, you know, as he lays this out for Israel and for Aaron and for that priesthood, he's laying things out that they need to do. And a lot of us, we don't like authority. Well, maybe I speak for myself. But some of us, you know, authority really bugs us. And you know, especially if we grew up in the 60s, we're, you know, have that mindset that we're against authority. And yet God says, you know what, I'm the one in authority. You need to do what I say for them. So, you know, I think we have to be careful. We can't take all of this that we're going to read tonight and say, okay, we're going to apply that to our lives. Because some of it just doesn't cross over. Some of it just doesn't come into the life. But the main thing that does is, number one, is that God is a God who is in authority, who is in control. Number two, he loves us, he's concerned about us, and he tells us these things because he loves us. And then number three, the greatest is, he's holy. And because God is holy, he says, you should be holy because we're kind of related now. Doesn't he call us his children, his sons, his daughters? Well, the same with Israel. They're his, remember when we read? They're his firstborn. He says, I'm bringing you out. This is it. It's me and you. And I want the world to see how great God is through you. And the same with us. So as we begin tonight again, you know, we can't take all these details, but, you know, I want us to walk away with the principle. I hope that we have a great God. In verse 1, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them. So this is to that special group. Remember, you have the Levites who are going to minister later on, but you have that group, Aaron and his sons, who God set apart. Now here's an interesting thing if you've been with us for a while. Way back in Exodus, when they came out of Egypt, I almost said Israel, when they came out of Egypt, do you remember what God said way back when we were reading it? Some of us have like Alzheimer's, I know, and we can't remember that far back. Remember, he said that they were to be a kingdom of priests. And then once they came out, here's the thing, once they came out, they did that whole golden calf thing. Remember that little fiasco? And God says, now you have forfeited that privilege that I gave you, and now we're going to pick a specific group. And it's Aaron and his sons. Now, Aaron and his sons are expected to behave differently from everybody else. They have to raise up or rise up to that calling. Yes, they've been given great privilege, and they've been with that privilege comes tremendous responsibility that God is going to put on them. So now check this out. God is like even concerned how they do funerals. He says, say to them in the middle of verse 1, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, and his brother, also his virgin sister who is near to him, who has no husband. For her he may defile himself. Otherwise he shall not defile himself, being a chief among his people, to profane himself. So here's what he's saying. You got to be careful as a priest. You don't just go do things. You've got to pay attention. And the Lord says, listen, as a priest, I'm going to direct how you're going to do funerals. I'm going to direct what funerals you go to. I'm going to tell you how to act. And, you know, I've said it before, there are times where you're serving the Lord, and all of us need to understand this. There are times when we're serving the Lord where, you know what, our ministry and Him and working with Him and even working with others has to come before our family. And that's what he's telling these guys. Yeah, you got family, but you know what? There are times you got to lay that down and serve me. And you got to be there. Do not defile yourself. Remember, touching dead people made them defiled. And if they were defiled and then they touched the offerings, they would defile the offerings. So he says, you got to be pure. You got to do this. So I don't want you doing funerals. I don't want you hanging out, you know, at funerals, except for very immediate family, mom, dad, brother, sister, and daughter. You know, and that's who you hang out for. That's who you're with. And then he tells him in verse 4, he says, otherwise he shall defile himself, being a chief among men, among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make any bald place on their heads, nor shall they shave the edges of their beards, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy to their God, not profane the name of their God, for they offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God. Therefore, they shall be holy. So he says, listen, it's because of what you're doing. You're coming and doing those offerings. And if you become defiled, unclean, profane, and profane's not in the sense of profanities. Profane is a sense that you violated laws and you violated the heart of God in that sense. He says, listen, if you do that and then you minister, everything you touch becomes profane and becomes defiled. Now, that's the part we can carry on. Listen, you and I as Christians, we're also, according to Peter, a kingdom of priests. Remember Peter, I love Peter calls us a peculiar people. I love that because we are peculiar. And he says it's who you are. And I know he means it in a different way, but I mean it in the most sincere way. And he says, and we're a kingdom of priests. And you know what? I do believe in our generation. I believe right now where we're at in Christianity, I believe there's a huge, huge a tendency and maybe even it scares me of going so far away from being holy and pure. We're afraid of becoming self-righteous. We're afraid of those things. And I understand that, but there should still be a sense of holiness about us. A sense of uniqueness. He set us apart. And that's what he's telling them. He says, I set you apart. I set you apart for this very thing. So, you know, don't do it. And then, you know, for us in ministry, he's saying, man, don't you go get all dirty and then come and get dirt on all my people. You know what? That's what he's telling them. Don't do that. That's what he tells us in ministry. Don't you put that dirt on my people. And then he goes on here, listen, now he's going to tell them who they can marry. He says, who you can bury, who you can marry, so to speak. In verse 7, they shall not take a wife who is a harlot or a defiled woman, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. Therefore you shall consecrate him, for he offers the bread of your God. And he shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctify you, am holy. And, you know, as we're reading some of this, we have to be a little bit careful because, you know, it's sometimes we take those and I believe go too far. I know some denominations take all this and go too far. And listen, he's just saying, hey, if you want to be in ministry, watch your life. And I think young people, we have a few young people in here tonight. I think young people, you know what? Watch your life. Be careful. Guard and take note of what you're doing and what you're thinking and things that could defile you and maybe even mess up this great great ministry opportunity you could have. So he says, listen, be careful who you marry. Watch out. And then verse 9, this is for any, the daughters. Listen, the whole family's involved here. Verse 9, the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she profanes her father, she shall be burned with fire. So listen, he's even saying, your children matter. Now, doesn't that sound an awful lot like 1 Timothy chapter 3, when he talks about elders and how elders are qualified and their families? We read it. I'm not going to read it to you. You can write it down. We just studied it recently. Or Titus chapter 1. He talks about that. And it's kind of the same thing. Now listen, this is a little bit more detailed, but the Lord's telling Moses it matters how people live. And it matters what's going on in their lives. And he says, my priests, those who I have chosen, those I have appointed, they need to be careful. And they need to watch out what they're doing. Now, the high priest, listen, and maybe this is more in line with 1 Timothy and Titus. He says, the high priest, he who is the high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who was consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes. Now, I think what's implied here is the other guys could get a little bit involved in mourning, but he's saying the high priest, the guy who got the oil on him, you know, and here's what kind of fascinates me is sometimes people want and see a position, and they want the position, but they don't want the responsibility. They want all of the attention, but they don't want to pay the price. And here's what he says. If you're going to be a high priest in that day, if you're going to be the Aaron guy and you're going to get that oil poured on your head that maybe everybody kind of wanted and looked at and thought, man, that would be really cool to get a jug of oil poured on my head. He goes, if you're going to do that, it's going to cost you, listen, everything. You have to lay everything down. Now, I think that's kind of cool. I personally think it's kind of, how far do we want to go with Jesus? You know, I think we should ask ourselves, do I really want to lay everything? I mean, everything down and just let go of everything in my life and give it to him? Because once you do that, once you really let go and get your hands off of it, life becomes really, really sweet. And so he says, the high priest, that one that has that consecration, he can't uncover his head, he can't tear his clothes. Listen to verse 11, nor shall he go near any dead body, nor defile himself for his father, his mother, nor shall he go out of the sanctuary to profane the sanctuary of his God, for the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. He says, those guys don't even go out for that. Wow. That's pretty costly, isn't it? Now, I, for one, I'm pretty stoked we're not still in this. But I still think we should be willing to pay that price. I think we should be people who are going, you know what, I would go that far for the Lord. Not because he printed it in Leviticus chapter 21. Not because he put it out. I want to go that far because I love him. You know, when you really love somebody, you'll do anything for him, won't you? Sure. And I even think Aaron and the rest of them, they would do anything because they love their God. And he says, listen, I'm your Lord. And again, a couple weeks ago, we said about how many times he's going to keep saying that to them. And then he says, listen, in verse 13, he says, and he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman, or a defiled woman, or a harlot, these he shall not marry, but he shall take a virgin of his own people, nor shall he profane his posterity among his people, for I, the Lord, sanctify him. Listen, the Lord's concerned about future generations, and he's saying this is how it has to happen, and this is what needs to go on. And I do think it's important. I think it's important. You know, I've seen wives ruin their husbands' ministries. And that's a dangerous thing. Listen, but I think on the flip side of that, you know, my wife is not an assistant pastor here. It's not who she is. She is my wife. And, you know, when she's my wife, she's not, you know, somebody, because some people treat her that way and want her to make decisions and want her to do things. It's not who she is. She's my wife. And I think that's important. But also being my wife, She's got to conduct herself certain ways. There's things that have to go on in her life. There's decisions we have to make as a family. There are things that, you know, y'all can do that us-ins can't. You see, because of the position, because of the responsibility, because of the privilege. And you know what? I for one, I don't regret that, and I don't get angry at that, and I don't question God, and I don't sit and stomp my feet. It's not fair. Listen, I realize I live in a bubble. People watch. I go to the grocery store. People bring up my name. Oh, you're that pastor. So I quit going to grocery stores. Well, I don't like grocery stores anyway, so. But listen, I know, and you know what? I'm more than happy to pay that price for my Lord. And I don't care that there's certain restrictions on my life because of the position. And that's what he's telling Aaron. And so, you know, when we read these things, some of us go, well, that doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right. And it's because we have a wrong perspective of God, that we're not viewing God from God's perspective or these things from his perspective. We think he's just trying to be mean and controlling and, you know, that sort of thing. No, he loves us. And he goes, this is what's going to be best, and especially if you're in leadership. Now this next section's a little bit difficult because, you know, he talks about some disabilities. And, you know, before we get into it, I want to say God's not a God who is, you know, anti-disability, or he doesn't look at disabled or things that we're going to read as second class. Again, remember the generation he's talking to. Remember the group he's talking to, number one, and things that were important because they were offering sacrifices all day long. That was their job. That's what they were doing. And so there were certain criteria and certain standards. And I think most of all, I think what we're about to read now has to do with, well, you know what? If they're crippled or lame or whatever, we'll make them a priest because we need strong men to do these other things. And I think that's really what he's getting at is, you know what? And we'll talk about offerings again in a little bit. But he's saying, well, let's read it and we'll talk about it. In verse 16, he says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. For any man who has a defect shall not approach a man blind or lame, who has a marred face or any limb too long, a man who has a broken foot or a broken hand, or is a hunchback or a dwarf, or a man who has a defect in his eye, eczema, or a man or scab, or is a eunuch. No man of the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect, and he shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. Now, again, I want to clarify, God's not saying they're second-class citizens. He is saying, though, there are restrictions. And some people can, and some people can't. And you know what? We need to accept that from our God. And we need to be people who are not saying, that's not fair. We need to accept, if God says no, it's okay. It's okay when God tells us, no, you can't do that. You, right now, in your life, are not able to do that. Now, he doesn't remove them completely from the family of God. He says they can't do offerings. And again, I think mostly my personal opinion in interpreting this is I think it's mostly because I think the great temptation would be, let's have all those guys serve in the temple because they won't be good workers and they won't be good soldiers and they won't be good warriors for us. So we'll push all of them in the temple and we'll use them for that, because don't we kind of tend to do that to God if we're honest? We're going to look, we give God our sort of leftovers, don't we? When we give him our time, a lot of us, we give him time at the end of the day or the end of our years. We say, you know, while I'm young and strong, I want to make a lot of money. And then when I get, you know, old and crippled up, then I'll really serve the Lord. God bless you. And the Lord's saying, you've got it so backwards. He goes, I want the best. And because he wants the best of a sacrifice, he wants the best of the sacrificers. So you kind of get that. So again, I want to clarify, because some people go, man, you know, the ADA, they wouldn't like God very much because, you know, look what he's doing here. It's not that. That's not the issue. So I want to make that clear. And then listen what he can do. Verse 22, he may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy, only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar because he has a defect, lest he profane my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, sanctify him. He's going, listen, things are going on, and this is it. And again, I want to challenge us. So even if you're having a little bit of a hard time, even after I explain it, you're going, I still don't think it's quite fair. I just want to challenge you to trust God. I want to challenge you to say, you know what? I'm not going to tell God what's fair because, you know, we're pretty warped compared to God. Most of us in here, you know, according to our thinking, are warped compared to God's thinking. Some of us may be like way up there. I don't know. But we're pretty messed up. We have some pretty messed up views. And we're pretty prejudiced. And so we need to say, you know what? If God says that, he must have a reason. And you know what? I'm not going to call God unfair because God is perfect. And so I'm going to trust him. So, you know, he says that. And then verse 24, he says, and Moses told Aaron and his sons, or Moses told it to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel and that they do not profane my holy name by what they dedicate to me. I am the Lord. So listen, now he's getting into an area, and as we do verse 22, he's going to talk about some certain things, and especially verse 2 of 22. Did I say 32? But verse 2 of 22, listen what he says, and I think this is the key. He's saying, in a sense, that we can turn the holy into the ordinary. And we got to watch that, especially in ministry, especially when you're serving God. Listen, if you're butchering animals all day long, remember they're bringing those offerings? Remember they're bringing them? You're supposed to do it a certain way. You're supposed to honor God. You're bringing that to give to God. And all of a sudden, you start acting like a common butcher. Hey, I'm sick of doing this. I do it all day long. Yeah, I got to cut the guts out. Yeah, I've got to put the fat over here. I got to put the skin over here. I got to do this. And all of a sudden, and he says, listen, you need to separate yourself. Did you get that? You need to separate yourself because this is holy. And I have to be honest. I believe that I spend more time in this thing called the Bible than most of us in here because I'm studying and preparing. And there's a great danger for me all of a sudden to treat this like study material. Like, hey, how am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do? And all of a sudden I take the holy and I treat it profane. That's what he's talking about. It's a huge danger. So first of all, here as he's talking, he's saying, you know what? The priest has to be careful. You got to watch your life. You got to, you know, you got to be on top of it. And you got to be a person who's willing to say no to yourself for certain things because those things are going to really mess you up. So in verse 3, he says, say to them, whoever of all your descendants throughout the generation who goes near the holy things which the children of Israel dedicate to the Lord while he has uncleanness upon him, that person shall be cut off from my presence, for I am the Lord. Now listen, here he's saying, you got to be careful about your life. These priests had to be careful. They couldn't go to certain funerals. They couldn't touch certain things. He's going to give a long list here in a minute. And they had to do certain things because they were serving God. God had put them in that place. God had chosen them. God had placed them there. And they have to do it in a sanctified way. And again, I think in our generation, I think oftentimes this thing called the pulpit gets defiled. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I see especially some of the younger people and what they're doing and they're not honoring God's word and they're not teaching God's word and they're not going in that direction and you see things and you go, that shouldn't be. They should not be doing that. That's turning the holy into the common and taking the holiness out of it and making it entertainment and making it certain things. And listen, God's warning them, don't do that. He says, and if the person does that, he needs to be cut off from my presence because I am the Lord. Oh, now he gives a list for them. He says in verse 4, whatever man of the descendants of Aaron who is a leper or has a discharge shall not eat of the holy things until he is clean. Whoever touches anything made unclean by a corpse or a man who has an emission of semen or whoever touches any creepy thing by which he would be made unclean or any person who by whom he would become unclean, whatever his uncleanness may be, the person who has touched any such thing shall be unclean until evening and shall not eat of the holy offerings unless he washes his body with water. And when the sun goes down, he shall be clean, and afterward he may eat of the holy offering, because it is his food. Whatever dies naturally or is torn by a beast, he shall not eat to defile himself with it. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep my ordinance, lest they bear sin for it and die. Therefore, or thereby, if they profane it, I, the Lord, sanctify them. Listen, listen, he says, the Lord's saying, I set you apart. I did this. Don't do these things. Here's what's kind of crazy. He kind of lays out in detail some of this stuff. And Israel, in just a few years, well, 40 plus years, I guess, that's not just a few. When you get to 1 Samuel, have you read 1 Samuel? You should read it. 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, at least. Maybe 3, 4. Remember Eli's sons? Eli the high priest? Remember his sons? They did exactly what God is talking about not to do here. God says, don't do that. Listen, it's not that many generations removed that they're doing that. He says, man, we have to watch it. Why? Why does he say that? Because you're going to bring sin. And when sin comes into leadership and sin comes in that way, it opens the door and sin just starts permeating everything. And he says, you got to watch yourself. You have to be careful. You can't be doing that. And again, we see it with Eli and then his sons. And, you know, it's just a little baby step. You know, it's just a little bit. And pretty soon, man, pretty soon you start out, you're kind of just a little, you know, off the mark. And then pretty soon, man, you're way over and you can't even see the mark. You're so far from the mark. And he goes, don't do that. God says, watch your lives as leaders, as part of the body. Don't do those things. Say no to yourself. That's something we're not too good at in our generation, huh? We kind of do it like this. He's saying, just do it. Oh, and then I think here's the hardest part. Then you have to say no to other people. You know, that's a difficult thing in ministry. Hey, in ministry here, there are times we have to say no. Listen to what he says in verse 10. No outsider shall eat of the holy offering. One who dwells with the priest or a hired servant shall not eat the holy thing. But if a priest buys a person with his money, he may eat it, and the one who is born in his house may eat his food. If the priest's daughter is married to an outsider, she may not eat of the holy offerings. But if the priest's daughter is a widow or divorced and has no children and has returned to her father's house as in her youth, she may eat her father's food, but no outsider may eat it. Here's what the Lord's saying. Man, you got to say no to some people. And you know, I found in ministry, when we say no to people, we get in huge trouble. People go, I want it. And we go, no, you can't do that. And oftentimes, here's what happens. I just share my heart. We say no to people, and here's what happens. Fine, I'll go to another church. And that's what they do. Because, man, we're a bunch of spoiled brats, aren't we? I was just talking to somebody on this trip, and they say, you know, God doesn't answer my prayers. And I go, oh, yeah, he does. He's just saying no, and you don't like that answer. I believe God answers every prayer. And I think, you know, more often than not, at least for me often, it's no. God, can I have this? No. God, can I have this? No. God, should I? No. And we get uptight and we go, well, God doesn't answer. Yes, he does. And here he's saying, you know what? There's times in ministry where people will come to us and they'll go, here's what we want to do. And we'll say, you know what? We don't really think that's going to work and it's not a good idea and we're not going to do that. Or maybe at that point in someone's life, they're not in a place where they should be doing certain things and we say no. And they get, some people get mad. They just go, well, I can find a church that wants me. And we go, well, I guess. And it's a hard thing. It's a hard, hard thing number one, to be honest with ourselves. Number two, to be open and honest with others and to say no. But here's what he says. You want to be a leader? That goes along with leadership. That's some of the things you have to do. Those are decisions you have to make. Those are stands that you have to do. Oh, and then he does say, if a guy blows it, I kind of like that. Well, I don't like this part as far as the penalty. Verse 14, if a man eats the holy offering unintentionally. Now, I don't know how you would do that. You know, I read that passage and I'm thinking, how do you eat something unintentionally? Whenever I sit down to eat, it's intentional. I mean, I put stuff in my mouth. You have to chew it. You have to swallow it. I've never gone like, how'd that get in my stomach? So I don't know how you eat unintentionally. And maybe some of you can say, oh, I'll tell you later. So maybe you got that. But I think eating's kind of an intentional thing, don't you? Especially if you got something on a barbecue, you know, and it's sitting there cooking. And you go, oh, man, and you pick up a leg and, oh, I didn't mean to do that. What do you mean you didn't mean to do that? How'd you do that? Unintentional. I don't know. It jumped in my hand, in on my lips, and now it's going down my throat. So he says, listen, if you do it unintentionally, he says, then he shall restore the holy offering to the priest and add one-fifth to it. Have you ever noticed that God, like, you know, I think of the whole issue right now, and no, I don't want to get too political, but, you know, income tax, and everybody's, like, freaking out about it and, you know, having fits. Have you ever noticed, like, God, he's pretty demanding. Here's what he says. If you do that, you got to give it back. So you got to give that leg and 20% more on top of that when you give it back. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? So listen, if you steal from God, you got to give back what you stole plus 20%. Oh, Lord, I'm not eating anything. I'm not even going near that altar. So he says, listen, but they're... God always gives a way out, too. Have you noticed that? Here's the way. And so he does that. And then he says, listen, if they do that, they shall not profane the holy offering of the children of Israel, which they offer to the Lord, or allow them to bear the guilt of the trespass when they eat their holy offering. For I, the Lord, sanctify them. I'm the Lord their God. I'm the Lord who brought them out. We're going to see at the end of this. I'm the Lord who sanctifies them. Listen, technically, this is about the Lord. Are you getting that? It's all about Him. And listen, if we elevate Him and if we exalt Him in our lives, then it will make us better people. It will make us the righteous people that we need to be. But when you bring God down to your level, then you get pretty crummy. So he's telling them to do that. He's telling them it's because he sanctifies them. Now he's going to talk about offerings. So listen, he says, first of all, as a priest, you know, you need to be clean as a priest. Secondly, you need to watch out for what we might call uninvited guests. You need to watch out for some people who want to do things. You need to be careful. You need to be willing to say no. Now, listen, now he's going to talk about acceptable and unacceptable sacrifices, not to the degree that we've seen before, but he's going to challenge us. Listen to what he says in verse 17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son. So I want to clarify something. Before, when the Lord was speaking, he was speaking to the children of Israel. Here's what you're to do. Now he's telling the sons of Aaron, the priests, here's what you're to watch out for. You see, because we're sneaky people, aren't we? You try and sneak that old broken down, you know, sheep in there that's 120,000 years old and, you know, crippled and messed up, and you're going to sneak it through there. And he goes, you got to watch your people. He says, so I told the people what to do because people are people. Now I'm going to tell the priest, not only do you have to watch your own life, not only do you have to watch out for uninvited people who want to serve, who aren't really able to serve, you also got to watch what they're bringing and what they're giving. And he says, listen, he says, speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel and say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers of Israel who offers his sacrifice for any of his vows, for any of his freewill offerings, which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering, you shall offer your own freewill a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, and from the goats. Whatever has a defect you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. So I think that kind of explains it. Personally, I think you should be able to get what God's talking about. But God's saying, I know you guys. You know, it's like teenagers. Have you ever noticed how legalistic teenagers are? You tell them a certain thing and they go, well, could you be more specific? You know, you tell them, be home at 10. Could you be more specific? Yeah, p.m. You know, they kind of do that, don't they? They get so legalistic. Well, you know, you said 10. I didn't know if it's 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. And, you know, I'm home. I'm home at 3 a.m. and away before 10. And the same thing with the Lord. He says, listen, don't offer anything with a defect. That kind of spells it out, doesn't it? Oh, not for them. So God's going to spell it out. He's going to be a little bit more specific, kind of like he was with the priest serving. He says, listen, he says, and these are your own free will offerings. They're what you're bringing. Here's what's kind of crazy. This is something you chose to do. You either took a vow or you chose to bring this. And so verse 21, whoever offers a sacrifice, of a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow or a free will offering from the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Oh, you know what? Before we get to, you know, them being a little defective, what's kind of sad is by the time of Jesus, we're not going to quite go there as we look at another passage, but by the time of Jesus, the priests had become so corrupt and they had become so controlling that you couldn't go to the temple with any animal and offer it. You had to go to the temple and you had to buy the animal from them. Even if you brought a perfect animal, they would say, it's not acceptable. It doesn't meet our criteria. So you had to buy them from them. And here's the crazy thing. Your money wasn't even any good. If you brought your shekels, they would go, oh, those are not holy shekels. You need to do an exchange rate. And it's about 2 to 1 because we need some cash. We got a big building program going on. Check out this temple behind us. And so they would rob the people by this horrible exchange rate. And then they would inflate the price of the animals because they're special animals, and now you got to pay big bucks for this animal, and all of that coming out of something like this. So they take the goodness of God and they pervert it. And here God is not doing this so someone can make money. He's doing it that we would give God our very best. You see, that's all the Lord wants from us, is our best. And so listen, now he's going to describe some of these offerings. In verse 22, those that are blind or broken or maimed or have an ulcer or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord nor make an offering by fire of them on the altar to the Lord. Either a bull or a lamb that has any limb too long or too short, you may offer as a free will offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. So here's what he's saying. There's some you can do, but when you're doing something for a vow, you got to be very specific. Now, bottom line, God says, I want you to be careful what you bring me. Don't bring me your junk. Don't bring me your leftover. I want your best. And I believe with all my heart, God wants our best now. And some people are going, man, we're living in such a crummy economy. I think God knows that. I think he's well aware. He still wants your best. You see, are you still going to give him your best? I think, you know, I don't care if you're making $80 bazillion or I don't care if you're making, you know, $80 a month. I don't care if you're living, you know, on Wall Street or if you're in the jungle someplace, you know, trading stuff. God wants your best. And we come up with all kinds of excuses. And if we're really honest, most of them, we give him the lame and the blind. We give him the one with legs too long or too short. We give him the leftover. He said, all I want is your best. Just give me your best. Because you see, if you give God your best, you know what you're going to get from God? His best. But if we mess with him, it's going to mess with you. Not him, but it is. So look at, keep your finger here. Go to Malachi. I love what Malachi says. Listen, and here's what's incredible. We're going to go to Malachi. We're going to read what Malachi says. And Malachi was right before, well, 400 years before the time of Christ. But this is what had happened to the people. God spelled out what to do, right? He gave them instructions. It was pretty clear. And listen, now Malachi, he's going to talk. And go to verse 6 of chapter 1. And he says, And I love how the Lord puts it. He says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Don't you kind of like that? And now, listen, it may not transfer completely over in our generation because some sons don't honor their father. But, you know, just talking about generally, God's saying, you show your dad honor. At least you're supposed to. If you're a servant, you show your master honor. You show that one over you honor. And he goes, you know, you do that. And then here's what he says. If I am, in the middle of verse 6, if I am the father, where's my honor? God's saying, remember, I was your dad. Where's my honor? How come you're not giving me honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? So here's what the Lord's showing. Why aren't you showing me that? Why aren't you giving me that? And here's what they're saying, just like us. Oh, we're fine. We're doing okay. We're showing you honor. What do you mean we're despising you? We're not despising you. We're kind of really awesome people from our viewpoint. And God's saying, oh, you are so not awesome from my viewpoint. And then listen, now in verse 7, he says, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? Here's what he's saying. Remember we just read for the priest not to touch things that are unclean, because if they touch them, then they make that offering unclean. God says, that's what you're doing. Why are you doing that? I explained to you what to do. You're giving me defiled food. And, you know, I want to be clear. It's not like God's real hungry and wants, you know, good food. It's for our good that he's doing. It's for our benefit. So he says, you give me defiled food. And in what way do we defile you? In the middle of verse 7, by saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And then in verse 8 is a heavy one. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Didn't we just read that you don't bring the blind and you don't bring the lame and you don't bring the sick? And they're bringing it. They're going, here, God, because you know what? Here's what you and I contend to do. You can have it, God, because it's not doing me any good. It always kind of amazes me when people will call the church and here's what they'll say. They say, hey, you know what? We just went and bought a new couch and we want to give our old couch to the church. Here's what I tell them. Why don't you give me your new couch? They go, because it's my new couch. Oh, you're giving me the lame and the blind and the sick and one leg's shorter than the other's? That's why he got rid of the thing, because it goes dunk, 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 dunk every time somebody sits down. Wow. Now, some of us are pretty self-righteous in that because we've not done that. We just throw our old couches away. How about your money? I'll get a little personal. Do you go through everything else and then give to God? And you get at the end of the month and you go, sorry, Lord, there's nothing left. Bummer for you. We kind of tend to do that. And he says, why don't you give to me first? Oh, because, man, if I give to you first, that means I might not have enough for me. Here's what the Lord would say. It's my money. All of it. Just give it to me. Oh, but I would rather give you the lame and the sick and the blind. That's what I want to do. And listen, I'm not saying this because we're short right now. Some people go, oh, man, offerings must be down or something. Pat's talking about money. I'm doing it because I know how you and I should give to God. Not just you, all of us. It's how we should give to God. Listen, I love this part. He says, you know, you do that, is it not evil? Check out the middle of verse 8. It's like one of my favorite Bible lines. Offer it then to your governor. Yeah, you're giving me junk. Give that to the IRS. Why don't you tell the IRS you don't have anything left because you gave everything to God? Because that's what we tell God. Sorry, I had to pay my taxes, man. It's tax time. You know, April 15th is getting really close. God, I can't give you anything because... And here's what God says. Why don't you give your government the junk you give me? That's kind of a heavy challenge, isn't it? Because most of us sitting in this room have our taxes taken out before we ever get a penny, don't we? We get our check, and it's not the gross, it's the net. Because who takes it out first? Uncle Sam, right? So what I want to do is I want all of your routing numbers. No, I'm just kidding. That's a different ministry. So sorry. Sorry, listen. Someone else. So he says, listen, he says, or offer it then to your governor. And then he says, would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? So listen, that's kind of crazy where you know, he's telling you and I, he says, why don't you try giving out to your governor and see how it works? Why don't you give to God the way you give to your government? Or why don't you give to your government the way you give to God? Wow, that's a pretty good challenge, isn't it? And now let's move it from money. We can go back to Leviticus. Let's just move it from money to time. Just time, not years, just time. How much time do you give to the Lord? How much time do you give serving Him? How much are you willing to do that? I think that's an important question. And even in your day, do you have, and that's why I believe you should have your devotions the first thing, because it's the first part of the day and you're setting it aside. Because here's what I know in my own life, and I would say it's probably pretty normal. If you wait till the end of the day, man, I cannot do something late at night, you know, or, and late is relative. Like right now, it's pretty late. But listen, if we do it at the end of the day, we generally get tired and we tell God, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. Give Him your best. Shouldn't we, as we're doing our Bible reading and doing our devotion, shouldn't it be when we're the most alert, not the least alert? Shouldn't it be before anything else fills this head full of all this stuff, that God would fill your head and fill your mind and fill you? So I think we should do that. So I think time, we should be careful. And then we should be, I think, people who want to give Him our best as we serve Him. And I think we should, you know, again, challenge a little bit for all of us. Step out and serve Him with your best, not your leftover, with your best. Right now. Right now, do something. You know, right now, our church can use some help. We can use some help. People go, where can I serve? There's a little thing in the back of the chair. Every ministry's listed. There's tons of places you can serve, tons of ways to get involved. Why don't you give Him that? Well, because, Pat, you know, I just like coming here. I do like those guys who open the door for me. I really like it that they're there. Well, why don't you open the door for somebody? Well, I don't really want to do that. You know, I just kind of, I'm busy. I am so busy. What are you busy doing? I'm busy making money that I'm not giving to God. Oh. And then how about early in your life? Again, I hear a lot of people say, when I retire, here's what I'm going to do. And I understand that thinking, and I understand what's going on. And, you know, some of us, we don't meet the Lord till we're close to retirement, and so why would we stop now? But, you know, I understand that, but why not serve Him now? Why not? You know, I love to challenge people, quit your job and go serve Jesus. Really? How will I live? Well, you know what? Walk by faith. But Pat, you don't understand. I have bills. And I have to work so I can buy my big house, so I can drive my nice car, so I can't give God any money because I'm spending it on all that other stuff. So when I retire, why don't you give that to your governor? Yeah, think about it. Here's what the Lord's saying. I want your best here. I want the best that you have. I don't want your lame animals. I don't want your broken down animals. I want your best. Now listen, it's not again because He's greedy. Here's what He knows. When you give sacrificially and you give God your best and you step up and you do it, then here's what's going to happen. Your life is radically going to be transformed. And you're going to be changed. So He says, give me your best to them and not these lame ones. And then, listen, He says here in verse 24 again, He says, you shall not offer to the Lord what is bruised or crushed or torn, nor shall you make any offering of them in your land, nor from a foreigner's hand shall you offer any of these as bread to the Lord your God, or as bread of your God, because of the corruption that is in them and defect and defects are in them. They shall not be accepted on your behalf. Verse 26, and when the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when a bull or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall be 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day thereafter it shall be accepted as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Listen, the Lord's saying, you don't take a little baby that's just been born away from its mother. And again, I think maybe the number can be somewhat symbolic. The number of eight is, you know, or the 7 days are the days of completion and maturity, and maybe that's it. Maybe there's something going on with the mom. But here's what he's saying. God does love animals. He does kind of care about them. Well, look at the next verse. He says, and whether a cow or a ewe, do not kill both her and her young on the same day. And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. On the same day it shall be eaten. You shall leave none of it till morning. I am the Lord your God. God says, don't do that. Don't take that animal right away. And I think God does care about animals. I think he is concerned about animals. And then he says, listen, once you offer it, you eat it all that day. We've read about that before. Now, verse 31, 32, 33 explain everything we've read. Listen to what he says. Therefore, you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord your God. Here's what he's saying. You do this. Why? Because I'm the Lord your God. Verse 32, you shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So first of all, he says, you do it because I'm the Lord your God. Second of all, you do it because I'm the Lord who sanctifies you. I'm the one who brought you, well, the next one, I'm the one who brought you out of the land, verse 33, out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Why did I bring you out of Egypt? To be your God. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died on the cross to pay a penalty for your sins so that you can be saved. Saved from what? Saved from a life of destruction to a life of fullness and abundant life with him, and so that he can be your God. It's a good thing to have a good God. And he's saying, here's what you need to understand. I'm telling you these things because I am the Lord your God. I'm telling you these things because I sanctify you as the Lord your God. And I'm telling you these things because I'm the one who saved you as the Lord your God. I'm the Lord. I really know what I'm doing. Here's what's crazy. A lot of us, we really love Jesus when he's doing the redeeming thing. But when he asks us for something, not so much. Even tonight, some of us are going, dude, you went way too far, man. You really think I'm going to quit my job and do what you said? You got rocks in your head. I know that. I mean, I know I have rocks in my head, and I know you're thinking that. I know both of those. But we love it when he's redeeming us, don't we? We love the redemption story, man. We love the grace. We love those things. But here's what he's saying. Come on. Let's get serious. How far are you going to go? How far are you going to walk with him? Because that's what he's asking these children of Israel. How far are we going to go? And I've read the rest, and they don't do too well. And we shouldn't copy them. Oh, for closing, Romans chapter 12. A lot of us have this memorized. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Yeah. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice right now because it's your reasonable service. And then I love the last part. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, or the next verse, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? Then you offer yourself, no strings attached, God, whatever you want. Here's the thing. A lot of us are afraid to say that. We're afraid to say that really serious. God, whatever you want, I don't care. I'm in. Some of us are going, almost whatever you want. Well, pretty much. Well, a little bit. Whatever he wants. Here's what I know. He's a good God. He's not like going to freak you out. Well, maybe a little bit, but it'll be okay. Whatever you want. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. That's what chapters 21 and 22 are really all about. Romans chapter 12, 1. Offer up ourselves. It's not about the blood of bulls and goats. It's about us offering our lives to Him. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank You tonight. We thank You, God, for who You are, and Lord, for Your goodness in our lives. And Lord, we thank You for the challenge. We thank You for a challenge that comes to us through Your Word, that God can be sort of easy, if we're honest, to kind of brush off. Lord, to look at this section and even say, that's about priests, and that's about what they need to do, and I don't need to go there. And I pray right now, as we're standing in this room, that God, you would just move on our hearts. And Lord, those things that we need to get serious with You about, that You would reveal those. Sometimes our broken down lives that we're giving You at the end of the day, that You would take that and, Lord, You would say, give me Your morning. Give me Your youth. That we would hear You and we would not be afraid to trust You. So I guess, God, I'm saying, increase our faith in You and increase our trust in You, that we could be men and women who we would trust You with everything we are, everything we have, everything we're ever going to have. And that we would lay that on the altar tonight, right now, here. And God, that You would get honor and glory from our surrendered lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's